Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News Podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to talk about supply chain management. That's become a topic of growing importance for compliance officers for two reasons. First, regulators are increasingly holding companies responsible for the ethical behavior of third parties in their supply chain. And second, management of those suppliers themselves and the disruptions they might cause on your supply chain and its operations, that also is becoming a larger priority for a company's risk management program overall. To talk about some best practices in supply chain management then, we're joined by Bob Engel. He is a senior practice leader for supply chain management at Resources Global Professionals, a well-known consulting firm. Bob, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, thank you, Matt. It's my pleasure.
Great. Now, first question here is, tell us about how a company should do a risk analysis of a supplier or a vendor or someone in its supply chain. I know you're going to say that people should think about fraud risk and along with the chance that a supplier might suddenly go out of business, but what else should be on the checklist when you are sizing up somebody in your supply chain?
Well, certainly, Matt, as you mentioned, fraud is always a risk of all the C-suites and business that companies do with supply base. The financial side of the business is also very important. It is in this global economy with the global financial crisis that occurred 18 months ago, it obviously pointed out a continuing need to put more emphasis to make sure that our suppliers are financially sound, that they will be here tomorrow to help us with our needs for our goods and services. Mm-hmm. But beyond just the fraud issues that normally come up or the fact that we're checking out the financial viability of our supply base, there are other things that this checklist should include. And that is, what is their quality program? Do they, you know, if you have a good price on an item but you're certainly making an inferior product, it's going to ultimately cost you with the ultimate customer. So obviously a checklist would include to make sure that they're making this, the product or the service that they're providing is of the highest quality. Mm-hmm. Also, I think another checklist is look at the management of the supply base. Look at the supplier that you're looking at. See, do they have good leadership? Are they effective? Are they leading and have the correct strategies in place for that supplier? I think this is one that is somewhat overlooked at times, and maybe it's not on everyone's highest checklist, but I think that when you see the best-of-class supply chain organizations that look at their supply base, they want to make sure that their suppliers have good leadership. Mm-hmm. Another checklist is make sure that the supplier has a commitment to you as a valued supplier. You can have a good price. You can have a good quality of a product that they're offering. But if you're not on their radar list as a key customer of theirs, it could be very harmful. An example of that, you could have a good price, good quality, but if you're down the production line and others are ahead of you, you can be have a good supplier that you've chosen, but if they can't meet the commitment on delivery and the production of the goods or services, it really is going to hurt you in the long run rather than help you. And finally, the last thing I look for is on the high-level checklist is how innovative is that supplier? Are they have a mindset that they're asking for suggestions, or are they giving you suggestions as the client, the person who's buying their goods and services? Are they innovative, and can they come up with opportunities and suggestions for you how you may improve your supply chain? I think when those suppliers are generally accustomed to catering to the clients, but I like the ones that the suppliers who are always challenging and questioning and maybe giving suggestions and recommendations on how you, the customer, could be acquiring the goods and services in a more effective manner.
You know, actually, let me ask a follow-up question there, because a lot of the points you made sound very sensible, and I'm sure that some people will say, well, haven't we been doing that all along? And I guess my question is, you know, have companies been doing that, or have they not really been digging in as much as they should have?
I think supply chain from a profession is a maturing profession. When I've been at supply chain for nearly 35 years, and when I first begun, it was more of the three bids and a buy mentality, and we really didn't delve into some of the issues I just talked about. But as supply chains and our profession has matured, particularly over the last decade, we're seeing more and more emphasis put in these areas. It certainly is areas that have had increased notoriety, have increased emphasis, and I think one of the compelling reasons that this has happened is I'll refer back to what I said before about 18 months ago. The global financial crisis certainly caused an awareness of who we're doing our business with, how we're doing our business, and making sure that we're selecting those suppliers that are going to be key to our business and it's going to be sustainable for the future.
Okay. Now, let's say I have a supply chain that seems to be reliable and trustworthy, and I'm very happy with my suppliers today, but what's the control system I should have in place to monitor and maintain that supply chain and make sure it's running well? How can I really get a good read on what my suppliers are in fact doing as opposed to what they are simply telling me that they are doing?
Matt, that's a great question, and I wish I could give you a formula that says here's how it happens. But in reality, it's about being involved, in nurturing the relationship. And what I like to call that relationship with the supply base is you take your key suppliers and you form an alliance, a true alliance where the communication is two-way, not just one-way. I've often said that we hear the terminology supplier relationship management, and it's a common term that we use in supply chain circles, but I don't particularly like that particular terminology because it indicates one-way communication, us to the supplier. But when you really and truly get into an alliance situation where both you and the supplier are sitting at the table and having a dialogue and having a two-way communication, to me, that is how you're able to nurture that relationship. There will always be issues. Mm-hmm. Every relationship, whether it be a client, supplier, family, husband, wife, brother, sister, there will be issues. But it's not about the issues. It's about how do we address the issues. And by having an alliance mentality and a two-way communication with the supply base, you can address those issues and get them resolved.
So when you talk about sitting down at the table with your suppliers and having that ongoing conversation, who should be at the table? We've got a lot of compliance officers and risk officers who are listening to this podcast, but would it be them who takes point or some other corporate executive who works with them who is keeping an eye on things?
When I counsel and give guidance to our clients and we help them, one of the things that I always advise them on, you have representatives from both the client and the suppliers, and you want to have, certainly you want to have some of the key leaders involved on a periodic basis. But the day-to-day management of those suppliers needs to be done by those who are affected by the results. If you've got if finance and accounting is an integral part of that relationship, then you need to have a finance and accounting person as part of that alliance team on this cross-functional team. If the warehousing, if how it's the goods are packaged and received at the warehouse, if that is very important, and we want to make sure that it's palletized correctly or packaged correctly, you know, it would be it would make sense to have someone from the warehouse operations. So certainly we want to have the executive level as part of these ongoing conversations and these alliance meetings, but I think it's also very important to have any of those team members who are affected by the supply base or by us who are procuring the goods and services. Anyone that has an impact on that needs to be a part of this team.
Okay. And last question then. Compliance Week hears from a lot of companies who wish for some sort of a list of overseas suppliers or vendors who have some sort of industry seal of approval that they are trustworthy and reliable, and you do not need to spend nearly so much effort on due diligence in your supply chain. I guess I'm looking for you to shoot that idea down. Is that practical? Is it possible? Could we ever get something like that running, do you think?
Well, I certainly wish that we could have some type of JD Power or Good Housekeeping seal of approval. But it boils down to this. Those companies that are best-of-class supply chain organizations who have fostered and developed the supply base have done it by being involved, have done it by doing a tremendous amount of due diligence to make sure that that supply base is qualified, the supply base understands the objectives and the strategies that we want them to be able to perform to and the performance of what we want them to be able to perform to.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, one other thing you may want to mention, I know in the recent times there's been a lot of emphasis put on let's go outside of our borders. If we're an entity that's located in the U.S. and we want to go outside of our borders to acquire goods and services, certainly it's common in circles of supply chain. It's called low-cost country sourcing, and there certainly have been an awful lot of that done. Yes, it would be nice if you could say, I want to go to China, India, the Philippines, Vietnam, Cambodia, other of these identified low-cost country sources and say, I need some assurance that these particular suppliers over there are going to be the state-of-the-art, they're going to be the ones that we can rely on. And it just simply is not going to happen. We need to put the same amount of due diligence in qualifying our suppliers, regardless of their location, whether they be here in the U.S. or whether it be outside of our borders. When you get outside the borders, you get into cultures, geographic considerations, and the unknown. You know, you don't know what governments are going to do. So because of these other considerations that may be a little more forefront in our decision and the risk that we take, it really is imperative that we do a great deal and probably more due diligence than we've ever done before.
All right. Bob, that's all the time we have today, but you gave us plenty to think about and covered a lot of ground, so we really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Matt, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And again, everybody, that was Bob Engel of Resources Global Professionals talking with us about supply chain management and the risks thereof. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join us again next time.